Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes. Nice
dress. It's a T-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Hello everyone, what is up? It is me, Ewan from What Culture Gaming, joined as always by the man, Scott Hill.
Hello.
Scott, you've got some juicy news stories, but I always describe them as juicy because they're so ripe with potential.
Yeah, you want to pluck them off the news tree. So we've got three things. First thing I'm going to talk about is Xbox going down. That was last night. The whole Xbox Live service went offline for about an hour, just in the middle of a game, completely disconnected. It wasn't intentional, didn't result in a black hole, wasn't a giant media event for the good of the whole franchise. And instead, everyone was just kicked out of everything that they were playing.
That's sad.
It is a bit sad. Now, the wider sort of news, the wider context of this is that it was the same day that Microsoft launched their xCloud service for preview members. If you're on the Xbox preview program, you can play their new streaming service, which I just wanted to talk about, the idea that a live service, like, you know, they're that prone to just going down mm-hmm. and completely ruin the whole point of a live service. What do you think of it?
Yeah, I'm still not on board with this streaming gaming future. And that might be because, you know, Sony haven't really, I know PlayStation now has improved over the past few years, mm-hmm. but I've not got an Xbox One, so I don't know the joys of Game Pass, but I always like the idea of ownership of physical media.
Yes.
I don't like the idea of, for a whole host of ethical reasons and other things, but I don't really get the convenience of downloading stuff to then have to stream it. It doesn't sit well with me, so right. I've never really been fully on board and embraced this kind of technology, but obviously for those who have fully embraced this technology, it kind of illustrates the pitfalls of, well, maybe everything isn't quite up to scratch. Maybe this is just a teething hour. I mean, it's only down for an hour or whatever, but, you know, the irony speaks for itself. They're ushering in a brand new age of
this is the future,
and meanwhile Google are licking their lips in the corner being like, that's your streaming, isn't it?
The thing with Google Stadia is that, like, obviously, like, you know, the whole idea that, oh, the future is streaming and all these different companies are going to try and do it. PlayStation Now, for as much as they, like, try to label all the Gaikai technology that Sony had bought, it's like, this is going to be the future of streaming, they ended up changing their sort of goals to make it that you could download the games, mm-hmm. but since then I always thought it was a blanket thing, you can download everything. You can't. You can download select games, some other games you have to still stream. So at some point you're still reliant on a server connection, which obviously is then contingent on their server farms being online, which even if someone as big as Microsoft can go down, it just means that if you're investing money into this stuff, it can just go off and you'll just be left looking at a blank screen.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, I know companies have improved their DDoS protection as well, but remember, like, the last two console generations, especially, you know, I think the PS4 and the PSN had massive issues the first 2 years with DDoS attacks and stuff. So that's an issue as well. You know, even if the online services offline, can at least put, you know, your single player game, pop it in, wouldn't have to couch co-op because we don't do couch co-op anymore, but you still have the single player there. But now, obviously, if you're relying solely on that connection to the server side, that opens it up to all sorts of potential issues further down the line, including, you know, people with malicious intent online, whether that be the inconsistencies or, you know, capabilities of Microsoft or Sony's hardware, software, whatever you want to call it. So, yeah.
It makes me curious about, like, who was asking for this stuff. And it's like, not that it doesn't have a purpose. Yeah. Like, you know, ideally, yeah, you click a button, it streams in immediately. If it's as fast as something like Google Stadia shows it to be, that could be brilliant. But like I said, I don't know who was asking for this stuff, and I've seen nothing but backlash since.
And the thing is like, personally, if anyone gives me the choice between having something that I can download and beam into my face or actually owning a physical disc that I can own and I can admire some box art or whatever, yes, I am sad.
I'll take box art.
I'll always take that option. I'll always take being able to actually own something and have it and be able to use it and not be reliant on some of the service that I'm also paying for to use. That kind of just doesn't sit well with me.
I'm game for it in theory, but I just think if it's so easily
occasionally
proven,
but I don't want it to be the main source of worry. I think like a free game you download every month, whatever, that's fine, but like if this becomes the main thing, it kind of makes me nervous. And me personally, again, it's one of those things I just can't wrap my head around. So on one hand, I'm just kind of looking at it and being, well, is this just innovation for the sake of innovation? Feels like anyone it. Really, really begging to? I know people want more storage space and home and whatever, but at the same time, I'm just kind of like,
I know exactly what you mean. It reminds me of when voice controls came in. It was like, everything's going to be voice controlled. And then if that technology doesn't have 100% success rate, we just feel like idiots. And for the people investing in streaming technology, the second that stuff goes down, lags, the visual quality drops or whatever, you'll just be like, well, why did I give up my formerly dependable thing that I could have just put a disc in and it would have been fine.
And then, you know, in 20 years' time, it'll be like, they'll bring back discs as a novelty. And then they'll be like,
oh, the only real way to play video games is on disc.
And the vinyl resurrection.
Yeah, that'll be what it is.
I've got a vinyl player. I'll go for it. Yeah. And another thing, do you like Fortnite? Do you like the Fortnite?
No, this is another thing. This is another thing. I got
crusty old man.
I'm usually able to empathize and like look past things, but like this is me. There is a wall in front of me, and I've tried to play Battle Royale. I've tried to sympathize. I've tried to empathize. I've tried to understand why people enjoy it. But every single time, there's just the wall in front of me, and I'm like, this is bad. I don't get why you all like it. Yep. I don't get why you, particularly you, like this game.
I'm with you,
but
mate.
I'm going to judge it at the same time. It's just not for me. So
it's fine.
Whatever.
That's more than fine. Yeah. So you'll know though that the whole thing happened. A couple of days ago with the end of season 10, the whole game shrunk into a black hole, which is pretty epic, to be honest. Epic games. But the whole bit of music they put underneath was really, really cool. And a lot of people were like, what the hell's going to happen after this? Is it going to be, are they just going to go into season 11? How do you continue something when you've literally shut your game down for what is now over a day? Turns out it actually is for what is ostensibly Fortnite 2. It's called Fortnite Chapter 2, and they're just restarting the season. And it is more Fortnite for the most part. It is a new map, though. And there's a bunch of new sort of gameplay mechanics. Fishing's in. I don't know who was asking for fishing in Fortnite.
The Red Dead Fortnite intersection. They're actually an untapped audience there, I think.
So they show a bit of fishing. They show a dude leveling up while he's fishing, which I don't know if you can do that or not. Maybe you can. But there's a bit of fishing. You can also you can carry bodies now. So if your friend goes down, you can pick them back up, run somewhere with them. You know, you can swim. Do you want to swim now? Swim for the Fortnite? Before I came in, I was asking you, and I was like, what would get you back into Fortnite? And for me, it would be able to go prone and sliding. That's what I want in my shooting games. I want to slide into combat and shoot stuff. And so for me, it doesn't really necessarily entice me that much, but I like that they've sort of added some stuff to the core thing.
I mean, the vehicles are a nice touch. You know,
vehicles,
the speedboat action they show actually look quite interesting. I'm always down for some vehicle-on-vehicle combat in whatever shooter you have. It's just, even though I think the aesthetic's quite cutesy as well, it's just not for me.
Fortnite's reputation is very much, it's for the kids. And obviously you look at we had a comment on our video yesterday about a kid talking about that his mum's credit card had expired and he wouldn't be able to buy more microtransactions. I can see where you're coming from.
It's a tough life, isn't it?
It is a tough life. But as much as it's sort of associated, obviously it is this big kind of euphoric kids thing. I still think it's fascinating as a media entertainment entity. It's kind of insane trying to iterate on something so big.
We can be as cynical as we want, but at the same time, you know, this is a new way of kind of relaying a video game. This whole idea of events as a live model is really interesting. I think you, Jules, and Josh touched on it in a podcast yesterday. You know, we could see this has countless, boundless applications to different games in the future. And that in itself brings its own pitfalls, you know, the fear of missing out. You don't really want to... If I'm not playing the game right now, what do I know if the next thing is going to happen?
What if a giant robot comes and fights a monster again?
As we see more franchises and studios pivot into games as a service models, you know, Fortnite is laying the groundwork for better or for worse. And that's very interesting for someone who I personally don't understand anything.
I can make you love it again. We talked about this yesterday as a potential for which game might do a live service thing. The Avengers.
I did think about this. I imagine Galactus comes down and he's just like, oh, not chomp chomp on the planet. And I'm just there like, oh my god, it's Galactus.
And you got to respond. Like something like that, I think that's the future of live storytelling events. I think that stuff would be brilliant. And like they've already said, to just finish that point on the Avengers, they have already said that they are doing live events.
Yes.
So like, we'll see if something as epic as that actually comes to fruition. Final story is my good friend Blizzard, who used to be a good friend, is now a bit off the boil. Mr. Blizzard.
They're a bit cancelled now, aren't they?
He's not doing very well. So big old Blizzard had a whole event planned for the launch or play sort of testing of Overwatch Switch. I know, it would be nice. They had a whole meet and greet with the voice actors planned and everything. And big old bit bad Blizzard.
Jeez, love.
Couldn't do it. So he pulled out. They pulled out. Because obviously all this stuff going on with the whole Hong Kong thing and Blizzard just being on fire. So right now, the launch event was completely pulled. Nintendo name dropped them on an official tweet saying that, well, the event's cancelled. Blizzard are the ones that cancelled it. So I guess right now, Blizzard are just sort of thinking, well, let's just try and ride this out until it blows over.
That's really interesting as well, actually. You think about the whole geopolitical tensions between China and Japan. There was that stuff about that film Abominable the other day, how it has the China, it has a map in the film, and it has the Chinese version of the disputed territorial waters and stuff. And, you know, Nintendo's a Japanese country company as well. So all sorts of different things going on there. Dear God, Blizzard, sort your act out. I mean, it's one of those things where any kind of backlash that comes from us or anywhere else, you know, who are quite obviously outraged by what's happened, that means nothing next to their company bottom line. They're going to be making loads of money in China anyway. So that's a bit of an issue. But also, once you take into account the whole thing that, you know, what they're doing is antithetical to the core concept of Overwatch in the first place. Yeah,
I mean it's weird because like they had this whole thing. It was at the Nintendo store in New York, big iconic sort of store in the middle of New York. And although Overwatch isn't actually out until next May, but like they kind of could do with building a bit of steam. They could have done with this goodwill vote, even if you're just going to cook the books and say, look, we're kind of, you know, not regarded very well right now. Yeah. And they have BlizzCon in the next sort of, I think it's two and a bit weeks. But the major assumptions at the minute as to why they cancelled is obviously because they'd have to various reps would have to interact with the public. People could ask a whole bunch of questions, and they'd rather just not.
Yeah,
have
they don't
that
really
right
want
now.
Someone asking Reinhardt how he feels about the whole Hong Kong situation. He goes, free Hong Kong now.
Finding the voice actor for May and Gettner involved.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's a whole bunch of stuff with that, and it just seems like I think they're just going to wait. I imagine the Q&A will get cancelled for BlizzCon as well, because at this stage, I think they'll just Nintendo Direct it. Here's all the new stuff, and we're barely even here.
Yeah,
you guys
it's
like
interesting.
Blizzard, right?
I've never really seen something like this happen in the gaming industry before, and I'm kind of curious, especially with something like Blizzard, which is so fandom-oriented. I know we talk about the big corporate conglomerate behind it, and the far-reaching, you know, the fact that they're with Activision, and Activision has Call of Duty, and so many different revenue streams to go on, and it's not really a thing you'd associate with fandom. You know, Blizzard has World of Warcraft, it has Overwatch, it has all sorts of different games that are really, you know, come from online fandom communities, and that's interesting to see how they respond to all this going forward. Is the fandom necessarily enough to make them overlook what's going on right now? Or is this, you know, you look at the stories that Blizzard are telling on one hand, and I feel for the employees who are telling such amazing messages in their games, then you also have, you know, Blizzard at the same time, you know, doing all the stuff with China. It's frustrating for them, and it must be frustrating for people who dearly, you know, I love Overwatch, so this is kind of like a thing where I'm like, well, this is really, really, really sad, so...
It's a hell of a clash between like what you would like want them to do sort of moralistically versus their sort of, like you said, like business realities of dealing with stuff.
Moralistically,
like, I don't know, it depends on how you want to like look at it, but it's a big old confusing mess. But I think in terms of their sort of damage control, they're just going like, we're just going to wait it out. We're just going to, you know, have a pint down the pub and wait for it to blow over.
We're just yelling at them. They're like sun lounged in the deck chair catching rays. And I'm just like, Blizzard, you suck.
Put the cocktails down. So yeah, that's today's news, but we'll probably have more
very
to say on
Blizzard. Tuesday news, that wasn't it?
Yeah, innit? A little bit, yeah. But cancellations and all sorts of things. And fishing.
At least we have each other.
We do.
Yeah. That's the message that we have this week. Yeah, let us know what you think of those stories down in the comments below. We're very sorry if the Blizzard news has upset you in any way, shape, or form. But the Fortnite stuff sounds pretty cool. And I'll also, you know, Xbox is back as well, so... snakes and ladders. That's how it is. Please be sure to like, share, and subscribe, and head back on over to whatculture.com/gaming for more news, lists, and articles like this every single day. You can catch me on Twitter at YoonRuneThings, and you can catch my colleague Scott Telford at
@LP89.
We'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Good night. And good luck.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands.
Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.